Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Flourish, the podcast for women. Tonight, we have joining us the Director of Operations for Tamika Reed Sims Ministries, DaVita Sales, and a good friend of mine, Dr. Donald Morton, the CEO of the Remand Project that helps Black men break the cycle of missed potential so that they transform every area of their lives. You are in for a treat as we discuss tonight the importance of self-care.
So here we are today, embarking upon this subject and trying to address how do we take care of ourselves? How do you take care of you?
Tamika? Yeah, so okay.
Or, go ahead.
I think to your point earlier, there just has to be a greater level of understanding of what that means, right? And I think people have created a narrative around self-care that it's either or, I take care of me or I take care of another, particularly in Christian circles, right? Being selfless becomes a part of our theological construct in Christian circles,
right?
And we taking care of others. But the truth is, we take care of ourselves so that, right? So as a strategy, I take care of me because my ultimate goal is to take care of someone else. When we're on airplane, the first thing that they will tell you to do is in the instructions is in the case of sudden cabin pressure loss, the mask will drop down, but don't you dare put a mask on someone else before you do it to you, right?
Yeah.
And no one argues with that. We almost overlook that. But the truth is that all of us have to be whole, healthy, full, and fulfilled so that we can take care of the next person. And the most valuable commodity in anyone's life is the person's life who's living it. There's no one more valuable than me. Jesus said it this way. He talked about how all of the law and the prophets hang on this one thing, right? That we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor. But the caveat is,
love
your neighbor until we love you. Right, so taking care of ourselves is the next responsibility after my care and love for God. It's my care and love for me. And there are a lot of people who would think that that is selfish. But selfishness as a strategy simply means I prioritize me, right?
Absolutely.
Because if I don't, then I can never get to you. And there are a lot of people who are running on empty attempting to help everyone else without first refilling, refueling, and taking care of themselves. So self-care is a strategy that it is a pass-through necessary to take care of anyone else that is a part of our lives.
So this is my question. And Donald DaVita, I really want to toss this out to both of you. When did it become normal to take care of everybody else first? At some point, we have stopped. And I think for those who are listening tonight, at some point you can identify with there was a time in my life, if it's not right now, that I started to put everybody ahead of the needs that I have. And, you know, I say all the time, if I don't get my rest, if I don't get my coffee, if I don't get some personal time, good. And if I'm enough to me, I'm a poor mother, I'm a poor daughter, I'm a poor friend, poor parent.
You're dropping in and out, Tamika.
I don't perform well when I'm not having my personal needs met. Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better? So when did that become the norm?
For me,
For
me, it's interesting that you even presented that question that way, and I'm sitting here like, wow. For for me, it became the norm to not take care of myself in my marriage. When I was married, I devoted all of me to my husband at the time and my daughter and the church. And that is what I ran on, literally, day in, day out. Everything was perfect, and I had to do this, and I had to do X, Y, and Z for my daughter, X, Y, and Z for my husband. And I at the time that I was on staff at the church, that was it.
So and can I dig a little bit? Can I ask this question before you continue? Who set those level of expectations? Who set those standards? Were they imposed on you by others?
Much of it was self-imposed. I would say 60-40. 60% of it was self-imposed. 40% of it was expected. With regards to my marriage, I really believe a lot of it was self-imposed. The majority of that was self-imposed because it was my thought process that, you know, I got to make sure at all costs he is taken care of, and he is taken care of in this way. Mm-hmm. And he loved it. It was never no pushback of, don't worry about that, I'll take care of it. He loved everything, you know what I'm saying? And as long as I was laying my head down on the pillow at night and sleeping, I guess for him, that was good enough rest and quote-unquote self-care. But when you, and then my daughter, you know, her demands were her demands, and that is what, you know, I felt God commanded me to do in caring for her and being a special needs child. But fast forward to being divorced and single and realizing that I had put so much into him and my family and the church that I had a moment to breathe when I became single, because I was no longer married. I was no longer on staff at the church, and it was just my daughter and I. And, you know, caring for my daughter would always be an element of my life that I would always have to do. I had, you know, it's evident. She's special needs. She's totally dependent. So that element of my life would always be. But being single allowed me to see how much attention I did not give myself and how much I did not take time to take care of myself. And even to the point of things that I hadn't realized about myself.
That's good. So Dr. Morton, question from the male perspective, because while our listening audience is female, we have husbands, we have sons. What the encouragement, advice, you may put it in there for male perspective, help understand what if you see the woman who is out of balance, you see the woman who is not giving herself adequate self-care, what are some of the things that you see? And how could you encourage the women who aren't doing that to do better in this area? Does that question make sense?
I think so. And you were breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to try to piece together what you asked. How can I encourage the sisters who particularly haven't done this well to live a balanced life and make sure that they take care of themselves?
Right.
I think first, my spiritual father always says the power to define is the power to fulfill. You can't fulfill anything you can't define. And so I was listening to Sis Talk, to the media talk, and a part of what I heard is when we all became, kind of cognizant of the expectations of taking care of other people. And for me, the norm, it was always the norm. So it never became the norm. It was always the norm. This idea of selflessness was always the norm. And it's because I think that this is a personal Mortonism, right? I think that the word selfishness has been demonized. So whenever we hear selfish, right, its context is always demonized. Selfish simply means I prioritize me, that I'm in love with me. And so I'm going to do something for me. And for most people, I tell the brothers all the time that every one of us must pay homage and respect to a season of selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And our sisters have oftentimes been trained to take care of children, take care of husband, take care of family, take care of, so all of these entities require her to do something other than take care of herself. It is a social construct, and it is fortified and anchored by Christianity and a false balance in Christianity, right? So we think that if the only way to love is to let people run over top of us, the only way to love is to take care of somebody else at the expense, and then we want to lift Jesus as this model who never said a mumbling word, and everybody took advantage of him. So we think in order to be like Christ, that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that, you know, every person has to honor a season of selfishness. Either they honor it up front or they will go back and recover it. So what we call that in social terms is when we say, someone is in a midlife crisis. They're not in the midlife crisis. They're going back to recover what they were never able to get on the front end. And everyone will do that. Everyone will pay homage to a season of selfishness, a feeling like I've got to recapture. I got to go back to school. I want to take care of me. I really want to go on vacation. I don't want nobody around. Those are things that we really could do in our single state. Before we have children, before we get married, before we're thrust into this world of responsibility, but we rarely do.
Can we look at why when you just pointed out we rarely do? Can we unpack that in the few minutes that we have left? Why is it that we rarely do pay homage, so that we can identify this is happening? Let me pay attention. What keeps us from paying homage? What keeps us from making those decisions?
Because, again, most of us have a cultural context of Christianity that is false. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when a pastor tells me that in order to be a good Christian, I've got to serve my church. Remember, back in the day, we were in church 3-4 times a week, 3-4 mm-hmm. times a Sunday, right?
All day.
And in order to be a good all day. And if you didn't show up, there was this guilt that was levied against you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so grow up in that, and then you begin to take care of yourself. You question if God says it's okay to rest. I remember I was laying down and resting and napping. I had worked 18-hour days. 3 days straight, and I was resting, and the enemy said, shouldn't you be up saving somebody? Shouldn't you be up helping somebody come to Christ? And you know what I did? I got up and just tried to find who I could help, and it was at that moment that I realized how sick I was, and it's not until we turn that sickness, that's a sickness, right? Mm-hmm. It's not until we're able to call that what it is that we'll ever get out of it. So I think for me, when I laid down the ideas that the old church really created as it relates to what true and authentic Christianity was, and understood that true and authentic Christianity is really a balanced approach to life, when mm-hmm. I did that, I was able to be okay with taking care of me so that I can take care of my mom, taking care of me so that I can take care of my children. The end result is still taking care of another, but the passageway to that is taking care of me.
That's good. Yes. That's really, really good. And Tamika and Dr. Morton, just to kind of add to that, something you said, Donald, that really, really hit home about, you know, the church and Christianity. I recall a time where I had been on staff for several years, and I can see that God was transitioning me, and it had gotten to a point where when I did not meet the quote-unquote expectations of the pastor, my boss, mm-hmm. I was then let go. And in receiving the news that I no longer had a job, it wasn't what most people expected it to be. My response was not a response of, oh, my God, I'm in crisis. What am I going to do? Yeah, I was in such relief, unbelievable calm and relief, because God had already started doing a thing in me about that whole element. But you're right. We are made to believe that, you know, you're supposed to eat, sleep, think, church all day, but then you become no good because you're not taking care of yourself.
Right.
You become no good. I really like how you broke that whole dynamic down in some of the analogies that you used with, you know, taking care of yourself first, because ultimately you're going to take care of someone else. But if you're not taking care of, how can anyone else benefit from what you have to offer and your giftings to them?
Yeah, and there's a level of care that you cannot provide if you are not whole. There's a level of attention and love and respect that you cannot provide to others if you don't provide it to yourself. I want to point us back to the definition of flourishing, since that's the title of this broadcast. It's to grow or to develop in a healthy or vigorous way. And there is no way we will flourish as people, as women, as men, as representatives of Christ, if we are not taking care of self. You know, I'm a fake gardener. I take pride in my little plants in the backyard. and if I don't prune them back, if I don't water them, if I don't give them appropriate levels of sunlight, they'll never grow in a healthy and vigorous way. And if that's just a plant, you know, with the potential to yield harvest. What does that say to us? Mm-hmm. If God will put all of that fruit in a plant, how much fruit does he put in us that never comes to fruition because we don't give self what self needs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To kind of add to that, Tamika, in giving self what self needs, the unfortunate thing about many people is they don't even know. As individuals, they don't even know what it is that they need, mm-hmm. because they're just on go. And a lot of people won't even pause for a second to see, what is it that I like? You know, in my singleness, mm-hmm. I can say there's been little things that I've realized, like, oh, I really like it. As silly as it sounds, I really like it. Like in this past week, for example, of me traveling back and forth to the hospital, that dynamic of my life, you know, with Devasia being in the hospital, that is not me. I do not travel back and forth. I stay there. But in doing so, I have, and I knew that I liked this, you know, several years ago, but I'm getting to experience it again. I like riding with the windows down at night. And it's just like, it's so simple, but that ride, that 45-minute ride from the hospital to home with the windows down, and it's just me and God, that is, I breathe in that moment.
Yes.
And some people will look at that as, oh, that's it. No, that's not the only thing that gives me, you know, a little refueling and reflection, but that's one of the things. But some people don't even realize that there's little simple things that you really, you know, may like and may help you to be rejuvenated and re-energized, refueled, but they just don't do it, and they haven't taken the time to know thyself, if you will.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
So can I get right in everybody's business as we
sure.
prepare to sign out for the podcast this evening? What is it that you do? Dr. Morton, I'll ask you first, and Davida, if you'll go secondly. Can you give us one or two things that you do since you opened up this can of worms with the windows being down? What are some things that you do to refresh and to refuel? Because what you think is refreshing and refueling, someone else may benefit from that, but it never dawned on them, oh, I could try that. Let me try riding at night with the windows down. What are some things we can give our listeners just some simple applications? If you need to refuel so that you can take care of yourself, try this. What are some things that we do to give ourselves some self-care?
Yeah, so I mean, I can't share everything.
you can give us and things.
You know what's funny? I like ratchet music. You know, I like riding with the windows down with my music loud. I love aromatherapy. I love getting manicures and pedicures. I love the freedom that exists with anything uninhibited. Right? So you know what I mean? Anything that allows me the freedom to do it uninhibited, I enjoy that. So, and then I enjoy everything from ratchet music to Andrea Bocelli. Right, so I can listen to him all day, and sit in the tub with candles, and listen to music and chill. And then I like trying new things. Think because like Davina said, look, for me, being married meant doing everything that my wife wanted done, because that was a good husband to me. And so she sleep with the TV on. I don't get no sleep. I like the TV off. I like it completely pitch black, right? So just being aware and being, because you don't know, the freedom that exists in trying new things until you find what you like, you know?
So that's a good
and then
challenge. Try something new. That.
Yeah, try something new. The question becomes, when is the last time you did something for the first time? Right.
That's great.
For the first time, and do something for the first time until you find exactly what you really enjoy.
I love that.
That's good. That's good. For me, you know, as I mentioned, riding with the windows down. But there are two things that one I'm able to do, the other I'm waiting to be able to do. But one thing for me that really is just like refreshing and refueling for me is I love water. I love, love, love water. And every now and then I'll get an opportunity. I don't live far from the beach, and I'll just drive to the beach. And most times I'm sitting in my car and I'm parked just so where I could just look out onto the lake and just be consumed by watching the water, birds, and people. That does something for me like nothing else. I just love water. And in that moment of, most moments of me being able to sit at the beach and watch the water, I am engulfed by God's creation, and it just allows my mind to just be refreshed in how God has created, you know, the world, the masses of everything around us, but water does it for me. Another thing that, and this is just in my bank of plans for when, you know, my husband come along, I love, it sounds crazy, but I love taking a ride at night after the rain. Just taking a ride after it rains, a little music, and just going nowhere. That I can't do it for myself because I need to be in the passenger seat, so I have to wait for that.
You're waiting on your chauffeur.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't get the same thing. I don't get the same elements that I need when I'm in the passenger seat versus me driving myself. But that is something that I absolutely love is taking a ride at night after rain. Those two things, of course, you know, evolve around water, and it just does something for me. So of course, there's other things, but you know, we'll limit it to those two.
Good, that's good. So we know this husband has to drive.
What'd you say?
We know this husband has to drive.
Yeah, he absolutely has to drive. He has to enjoy driving. He doesn't even have to enjoy driving. He has to not mind taking that ride when those moments occur.
That's good.
For me to you, what are some things that you do?
So I like to sleep. I really like that, and that refreshes me. I don't get enough of it, so I would like to do that a little more. I have picked up this passion of gardening, and this year all of my plants are in pots, and in my little greenhouse. I think next year I really want to dive into like serious gardening. I lose myself in that time. I'm refreshed by the soil and the sunlight and, you know, just being out in nature. I'm really refreshed by that. And the other thing for me that is very good that I don't do enough of is traveling for the sake of traveling. You know, I travel for work, and I thank God for it because it pays my bills. But I don't get a chance to just travel to just end up wherever I end up.
Right.
So I secretly want to take like an RV trip where I can just load up the RV and just go. And we'll figure out where we're going when we get there.
I'm looking forward
to that. I've never done it. I think I have kind of convinced Micah that it's not the worst thing in the world. He just would rather fly to somewhere. But I think just slowing down for me has been most helpful. So while COVID-19 is traumatic for so many, having to slow down has been very, very therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
Having to be places has been very, very therapeutic. And while we have, you know, everything is unconventional now, we've had to rethink the way we do things. I have really come to understand Tanika needs downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And give myself permission to give myself downtime, you know, and tell the people I live with, all of my residents, you'll be okay, figure it out.
Exactly.
You know, they'll live. They'll live if they eat leftovers. They will live.
Absolutely.
You know, or if I don't wash every day, they'll live. So this has been a blessing to me to be able to have a little bit of downtime. We've reached our time, and I wanted to say thank you to each of you for just sharing in this conversation of how important it is if we are to be responsible to the Lord with our lives. We have to give ourselves some care. We got to give ourselves mm-hmm. care. And Dr. Morton, thank you for that definition of just making myself a priority.
Absolutely.
It's not that I think any less of you, but I have to make myself a priority.
Yes.
And Jesus went away. Jesus gave himself self-care.
Yes.
Disappeared into the mountains, disappeared into the desert. And every I don't believe all of that was fasting and praying. Some of that was just, these folk get on my nerves. I need a minute.
Right.
And it's okay. It's okay. So, Dr. Morton, do you mind closing us out in prayer as we prayerfully leave these poignant thoughts on the minds of our listeners about taking care of ourselves?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this moment that you've allowed us to be in. Thank you for Tamika. Thank you for Davia. Thank you for the listeners. And we pray that we will get a revelation of what mm-hmm. it means to prioritize ourselves, that you loved us so much, that Jesus loved us so much, that he took time to himself. And so as a matter of practice, we should do the same. So, mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that every part of the enemy's voice that would attempt to distract the person from taking care of themselves, that we mute that voice, we come against that voice, and we lift the peace of God that is beyond comprehension, that we keep our hearts and our minds stayed on the instructions of the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you that as we go about this weekend, that we do something for the first time, that we identify what we really enjoy, that we identify those things that are unique to us and unique to our being, and that we give those things a chance, and that we continue to move further and further away from the things that don't bring us joy, the things that don't bring mm-hmm. us peace, the things that don't bring us comfort. And we'll forever mm-hmm. give your name praise because you are worthy. We thank you for every detail that you took in creating us to be the persons that we are. And we yes. will honor you by living that in full expression of that truth. We give your name praise. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Flourish, the podcast for women. We want you to remain connected at treedsims.com. There you'll find valuable resources that will be a blessing to your life. Also, don't forget, go by flourishonline2020.com to get registered for our upcoming women's conference scheduled for August the 28th. You don't want to miss it. All necessary information will be found online. Until we meet again, be blessed. Be focused and keep your heart, mind, and your spirit intentional about flourishing in everything that you do.